بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. قال الله تعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. صدق الله العظيم. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا. Respected elders and dear brothers, first and foremost, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Sort of got a little bit late. Just got held up in a bit of traffic. I'm sure people understand the London traffic is unpredictable sometimes. Mashallah, it gives me great pleasure to come and first time that I've come here into this masjid. So mashallah, it gives me great pleasure to come here and share with you some reminder that we can, inshallah, somewhat benefit from. Now, I'm sure we've heard the verse that I've recited at the beginning many times before, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes to us the purpose of fasting, what it is. Yes. We all, mashallah, we fast, but we need to really keep in vision the reason why we fast, the idea behind Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prescribing fasting upon us, in order for us to be able to truly benefit from the fasting. Otherwise, what will happen, it'll just be merely a practice, a ritual practice, every year of staying hungry, doing some suhoor, and then making some special food at iftar, and then coming and standing in long taraweeh, and that's it. Maybe a bit of Quran. And then after Asr, we'll sit in the masjid to see if we can gain some halal entertainment. Haram entertainment's gone, isn't it? That's gone off for a month. That's on pause, that's on hold, yes? So therefore, the entertainment that we will have is something from the masjid, maybe. So that's what it'll become. It'll just become a routine. Year in, year out, Ramadan, one from one Ramadan to another. One Ramadan will come, next Ramadan will come. Many of us have passed how many Ramadans? 20 years, 25 years. But we will see no spiritual growth. We will see no progression in closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We'll be the same as we were 20 years ago. Still doing exactly the same. No difference. We come, we pray salah, I do my part. I'm a good Muslim. That's all we're doing. But there needs to be some growth from one Ramadan to another. Inshallah, today and tomorrow, we will learn how to practically bring this into our life, how to bring that growth of spiritual growth. But firstly, ideology, mentality needs to be right. What is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from me and you when we are fasting? So we know that لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, that's the answer everyone's going to give, yeah? That we gain taqwa. That's the idea. But what is this taqwa? How do we actually gain a higher level of taqwa? A base level of taqwa is in every single one of us. Allah has created that within us, that base level taqwa. That taqwa where, for example, we are doing a sin that you've now repented from. You said that, that's it, this is a sin, I have to leave this, I've heard speech about this, I've heard this, that, so I'm leaving this sin. Then a time comes in life where you are now enticed to do that sin. There's a thought, and then you're like, no, I'm not going to do it. I've promised, I'm not going to do this. No, I can't do that. What is this thought? This is taqwa. This is what taqwa is. Because taqwa is what? What does ittaqa mean? To stay away, to refrain. To refrain from what? Anything which displeases Allah. So why is it that you are staying away from this sin? What's telling you to stay away from that sin is that taqwa inside you. Now our job in this month of Ramadan, Allah is telling us, is to make this taqwa strong. That's the thing. This has to become strong. So strong that it's quite easy now to stay away from that sin. Easy to stay away from that sin. For most of us sitting here, it would be quite easy to stay away from, for example, let's say a sin like for drinking alcohol. It'll be quite easy for most of us to stay away from this. Why? Because your strength of taqwa is quite strong. But for somebody who's become habitual of alcohol, drinking, it's going to be hard for them. Staying away from alcohol will be hard for them. Likewise, any other sin, you name it. Some sin that a person has made themselves very habitual of, it'll be hard to stay away from that. Because you've paved the way to gain pleasure from that sin. So what happens now? You've felt that before. You've tasted that. So your brain is asking you for that feeling again. Your nafs is asking, I want to feel that. It's like a person that takes a certain drug. They are now wanting, they're craving. I want that feeling. What's that? Whereas compared to a person who's never taken a drug before, they won't have that feeling because you don't know how it feels. So you haven't paved the way for your brain to feel a certain sensation. So then you're not going to want that. So this is the idea of doing these sins, and then habitual sins especially, where the root becomes so strong, it's like a habitual root for you. It's hard to stay away from that. So these are the sins that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to really put a cut off. This Ramadan allows us to stay away from these. And in order, by doing this, what are we doing? We are building the taqwa. How do we understand this? Is understand what this taqwa is all about, like I'm explaining. So, in order to understand how to gain the taqwa, we have to see what forces work against us in gaining taqwa. We see the opposite. To understand hot, you understand cold. Once you understand cold, you can see and appreciate hot better. When you understand light, you see the darkness. You want to see white. You want to understand what white and pure white is. You see black. Opposites. In the same way, in order to understand the taqwa and how to gain the taqwa, we see the forces working against us, and then we will understand the taqwa and how to gain it. So we see the two main forces working against us are the shaitan and nafs. Nafs and shaitan work against us in gaining that taqwa and closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yes? Now, the month of Ramadan, we said, was all about taqwa. How do we know that? Look what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has facilitated for us in this month. What's He done? Allah said that I will take away the shayateen for you, yes? The shayateen that misguide a human, that whisper into the heart of the human to try to misguide us, create waswasa in us. These shayateen are locked away, that they are no longer able to misguide somebody now, yes? And that's what happens in this month, we know. Question is why? Why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala feel the need to do this? Because remember, we're saying that the forces that are working against us getting taqwa is shaitan and nafs. So what does Allah do? The shaitan, He locks the shaitan away because we can't have control over the shaitan. We can't control him. So Allah says, you know what? I'll take care of him for you. But the nafs, He leaves us to the devices of our nafs. Why? Because this is something we can have control over. We can gain control over our nafs. So He says, now you are with your nafs, sort the nafs out. But He didn't just leave us to it. What did He do? He gave us certain deeds to do during the month and made them so important. He made them so important. By making them so important, what happens? We all understand that this Ramadan is so important. I have to make sure I preserve it. I have to make sure I don't do this sin. And we make sure, we try our best to not do certain sins. Even sins that we found it hard to stay away from, we'll make sure we stay away from them in this month. Why? Because we have the understanding of how important Ramadan is. How do we get this understanding? How do we know how important Ramadan is? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is like dishing out reward. He is saying, I will give you this reward, I will give you this reward, I'll give you 70 times. You just prayed Asr right now, yes? we gain 70 times the reward just for praying Asr that we would have got outside the month of Ramadan. 70 times is no small figure, is it? No, if we were to say, no, we say this, but it's quite easy on the lips, isn't it, 70 times. But if somebody, imagine you're working, yes? So if the boss at work was saying that, okay, tomorrow, if you come work, that I give you double pay. Double pay. Just for tomorrow. We'll make sure we go in, even if it's an off day. We're like, yeah, you know, I'll do some. And we'll make sure we do overtime as well, right? Is there any overtime as well? Maybe we can put in the few hours extra so we can take another day extra off afterwards. That's for double pay, yes? Allah is not saying double pay here. He's saving 70 times. That's minimum. Imagine you got the boss at work, 70 times pay, huh? Then nobody's taking off. Double pay, maybe some people will still say that. No, I'm not going still. 70 times, what do you think? Anyone going to say here that I'm not going? We're all going, yeah? We're all going. And then for those who don't work for that boss, we'll make sure we try to find a job. Is there a job there as well? I'm going to join. 70 times. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yeah, because we have value for money. We have value for money, innit? So then we understand, we have to talk in money language, right? We have to talk cash, we have to talk dollar, we have to talk pound. Then we will understand what word Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving here. The currency of the hereafter, the reward that a person that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving to us, He is giving us so much reward. It's like a whole massive stake and investment that we are making here, yes, for the hereafter. The amount of deeds that are piling up for us, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving to us. It's amazing. Allah, He done this. Why? He wants to show to us how important this month of Ramadan is. He gave us this. No, but the thing is, in the month of Ramadan, what is the thing that we do which is different to everything else? It's the one thing that stands out is the fasting, isn't it? Now look how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewarded fasting. Look how He rewards it. He doesn't just say that I'll give you 70 times. I'll give you 10 times. I'll give you 25, 27 times like He does for jama'ah, prayer. Or I'll give you 700 times the reward like He does for sadaqah, yes? 700 times the reward. Or He didn't say anything like this, yes? No fixed reward. What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? He says, "As-sawmu li wa ana ajzi bihi." For everything else, right? For everything else, you name it. What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do? He gave to the malaika, He gave to the angels, like a score sheet. He gave them a score sheet, right? So He said that, okay, these people, if they've prayed with jama'ah, they're going to get 25 times the reward, minimum. If they do a certain deed, they get 10 times the reward. If this person has prayed with more khushur, with more concentration, his niyyah, his intention is pure, then you know what? He's going to get more reward, not just 25. That's base reward. He's going to get more reward. So there's like a whole score sheet, yes? That the angels will come along and grade everyone's salah with. So, okay, this person's salah is this much. This person, your salah is this much. They're going to grade each one's salah for the amount of reward that we're gaining, yes? But for fasting, what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do? He said, you know what? Angels, leave it. Leave it. I'll reward it myself. I will give the reward of the angel. I will give the reward of fasting myself. Why? To show how much reward is this beyond the angels. It's beyond what the angels can even do. You can't grade this. I will grade this myself. You name it, every other good deed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, Allah has mentioned a reward for it. To the extent that can you say to me that there can be a greater good deed than giving your life for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? But even for martyrdom, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the reward. That when before the blood reaches the ground, the sins will be forgiven for that person. The reward is mentioned. But the reward for fasting, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't mention. He says it is beyond you comprehension. It's beyond even the angels. I will reward this myself. Can you imagine the reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving to us? Why is the question? Why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us so much reward? What is He getting from fasting? Is He gaining anything from fasting? If you think about it, right? Then from a logical perspective, fasting is actually less than any other good deed that you're doing. Compare fasting to praying Salah or praying Quran. Fasting is an inaction. You're actually not doing anything. What are you doing in fasting? Are you doing anything? You're not doing anything. You're actually not doing something. You're staying away from food, from drink, and from cohabitation. You're staying away. So this is an inaction. You're not doing anything. There's no action that you actually are doing. But when you're praying salah, you're doing something, aren't you? You're doing ta'zeem of Allah, you are saying His kalam, you're reading, you're praying to Him, you're submitting to Him, you are in the closest position that you can be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're putting your forehead onto the ground. This is the greatest ta'zeem and greatness and glorification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that a person can do physically, putting their head down in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and submitting to Allah like this, yes or no? But for this, Allah didn't mention a reward in the manner that He mentioned for fasting. Question is why? You're reading Quran, you're glorifying the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're reading. This is something you're doing. In comparison to fasting, you're doing anything, nothing. You do nothing. And for this nothing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that you will reward us more than He has ever rewarded before. More than any other deed. Question is why? To understand this, let's understand something, right? Now, if you have a youngster, your young child, he's got to the age of maybe, let's say he's got the age of now GCSEs, right? He's gonna nearing his GCSEs, and you can see that he's not working hard. He's not doing what he can, what he's capable of doing. He's wasting time playing games on his PlayStation, on his computer, on his this and on that. That's what he's doing. Yeah, he's hanging around with friends. He's wasting his time. He's not concentrating on his studies. So what are you going to do? Are you going to let him waste his life? And allow him? Or are you going to tell him off? Make him study? You can do that. But he'll study whilst you're there. Yeah, as soon as he can hear dad's keys, so he'll turn it off quickly and quickly pull out the books. I'm studying. Or he'll be on his computer and it's quite easy, isn't it? Yeah, control tab, it just quickly shift. Or now there's just the mouse pad. Yeah, just shift. Screen just changes. Looks like I'm doing a lot of work. Dad will come in. Yeah, working hard. Or my son is working hard. Yeah. We know the tricks. Everybody knows the tricks, yes? So, you could do that, but it's not going to work, is it? We can see it's not going to work. But what will you do then? You will think that, you know what? Let me think of a clever way of doing something. You know what? If you get A's and A stars in your GCSEs, then I will give you, you're going to have to give him something now. You can entice him with reward, right? You're going to entice him with reward. You're going to tell him, I'll give you something. But what are you going to give him? What are you going to give him? £10? What do you think? £10? £10 will cut it. What do you think? Anyone? You don't know? £10 won't cut it, yeah? £10 not going to do. What about £20? Do you think £20 will do? No, I don't think £20 will do as well. You're going to have to give him a reward. You're going to entice him with a reward like you've never given before. Yeah, if you're giving out, dishing out £20 just like that every time, £20 this time is not going to work, is it? Not going to work. You're going to have to pull out the checkbook. Huh? You're going to have to tell him that I'll buy you this, the thing that you wanted all along, that you haven't had this yet. I'll buy you this. I'll buy you the latest iPhone. I'll give you the new one, yes? You'll have to entice them with this. Now what will happen? Now you'll have peace of mind that you know that they're going to be working hard behind your back even. Huh? Easy, isn't it? Easy. Entice them with this reward. But you're going to have to give a reward that you've never given before. The question is, why are you doing this? Why are you pulling out the cash? Are you going to get anything out of it? Nowadays, you're not going to get anything out of it. If you're thinking you're going to get something out of it, by them getting good grades in GCSEs, they're getting A's and A stars now, yeah? Because you put this phone in the way now, yeah? That's the aim. They're going to get A's and A stars now. What's that going to get you? If father thinks like this logically, that what's he going to get me? It's not going to get me anything. So why should I? Why should I buy the phone for him? Why should I cough out that money from my pocket? Why should I do that? But you will still do it, even though it's not going to get you anything. Some people may have this vision, yeah? That no, when he grows up, he's going to get a good job. He's going to get a good job, and he's going to get a good job, he's going to look after me. You can keep dreaming, huh? You're not going to get that nowadays. Nowadays, that's not going to happen. If you think that your child will care for you when they grow older and they're going to look after you, you got another thing coming. Get this vision out the head, yeah? That expectation should be gone. Yeah, maybe you can expect that they will pay somebody to come and do care work for you, yeah? Maybe you can hope for that, yeah? They'll say as well, I'm paying for a carer. I'm paying, you know, I'm busy. And they think they've done their duty. That this is what will happen if you teach your children something. Yeah, if you just engross them in dunya and not teach them deen, then they won't have the izzah, that respect, that want and that desire to care for their parents won't be there. That's another story. So, what are you gaining by coughing out this money, by giving them that new iPhone that's going to cost you an arm and a leg now, or well over £1,000 now, isn't it? It's going to cost you to buy that new phone for them. What's it getting you? Nothing. You're getting nothing. Yes? But that child at that time will think as well, innit? That child at that time will think that my dad's getting something out of this. What's he getting out of it? Yeah, he wouldn't just give me something like this for no reason. At that time, the child would think that as well, innit? You know what? He's gonna get that name in society that his son got A's and A stars. Yeah, that's why he wants this from me, innit? He wants that bragging rights in society. That's what he's getting. So the son will think as well. At that time, the son will think that this is why my father is giving me this. Yes or no? Why? Because that son at that time, that child at that time, is very restrictive in the thinking. Doesn't understand. He doesn't understand that this GCSE is very important for me. It's the stepping stone for everything else to come later. Because then that will depend on which college you go to. And depend on what subjects you can take in A-levels or not. Or that do you have to drop to BDEC? Or do you have to drop to vocational studies and everything else? Then that will depend on what uni you go to. And then that will depend on everything else. This is the career path. So this, the father knows this. So the father will entice through this kind of reward. And what type of reward? Reward like you've never given before. That's the reward. Yeah, you can't give £10, £20. Why? Question is why? What you gain out of it? Nothing. But you care for the child that much. You love your child. You want them to do well in life. Whether they will care for you in it afterwards or not, that don't matter to you. Yeah, that's a good, that's a plus point. But what is it that you want from your child that you're coughing out over £1,000 for them? Because you love them. Whether they know it or not, later on in life they will reflect. And then they will see, my father told me to do this, and that's why I understand. Now I understand. So exactly the same. Can we see now? What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do? He entices us by fasting. Fast. And what reward does he give us? He says to us, I will give you a reward that you've never had before. I'm not giving you 70 times reward only. I'm not giving you 25, 27, 700 times before your blood reaches the ground, I will forgive your sins. I'm not giving you reward like that. I will give a reward like I've never given you before. I'm told the angels that I will reward it myself. Can you see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is enticing us? Why does Allah gain anything out of it? We just discussed that it's an inaction. It's not even doing anything for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is it that Allah's treasures, you know, the treasures of Allah have become depleted? Yeah, it's like all the food stock is going down a bit. So Allah says, you know, humans, you fast for a month so we can stock up again or something, right? Nothing like that, is it? The treasures of Allah are abundant, are beyond our count. So why is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us to stay hungry? Question, why? Why? Because He knows what He has placed in this fasting. Allah knows. And He has told us. What is it that by fasting you will gain? Allah is saying, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. That you can gain that taqwa. That's what Allah wants us to gain. This is so important to Allah. Allah knows how important this is. That He enticed us through so many different ways. So many different ways. What did He do in this month of Ramadan? For this ummah especially, what did He do for us? He knows that during this time, how are you going to gain that taqwa? How are we gaining taqwa? Remember, we said there are two forces working against us, the shaitan and the nafs. What did he do? He took the shaitan away. Why? So that we can work on taqwa. And what did he do with the nafs? He told the nafs, he told us that the way to gain control over your nafs is what? Fast. Fast, stay hungry. What will it do? It will subdue your nafs. It will subdue it, it will make it weaker. Once it becomes weaker, what happens? You will be able to gain control and dominance over the nafs. This dominance, this control that we should be gaining, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to gain this. Look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what does He say? He says, وَنَفْسِ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا. Where Allah discusses regarding the nafs, He discusses regarding nafs. And He says, وَنَفْسِ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this nafs. And then what did He do with this nafs? Allah says, فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. That Allah inspired this nafs. He instilled into the nafs. What did He instill? The fujur, the evil, the sin. He inspired this. And He also inspired what? Taqwaha, the taqwa. So that means, like I said before, that every one of us, we have within us the ability, the nafs, having the ability to do the sin, to do fujur, to entice a person towards evil, and also towards good deeds, towards taqwa. Our job is to make this side, the side of taqwa, dominant. That's the idea of fasting. Can we draw a conclusion then? We're drawing a connection that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the taqwa that we have got, we have to polish it. We have to bring it back out. We have to make it dominant over the fujur. That's the idea of the fasting. So the fasting enables us to gain control over that nafs. This is why you see after Asr, this time, especially as we draw nearer to fast, when you're feeling the most, you're feeling hungry the most, yes? You feel the weakest. There will be less desire to do sin, less enticed towards many of the sins. You will be easier to control oneself. That's what this fasting does for us. So the fasting, what's it doing for us? We understand, we're drawing a conclusion today. The fasting will enable us to be able to gain control over the nafs. Inshallah, tomorrow we'll discuss regarding how it's allowing us to do this. Practically. But we understand so far a connection that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made in the Quran, that fasting gains taqwa. And how? Is by what we've discussed today. And Allah is enticing us. How is He enticing us? Look, various good deeds. Because good deeds will make the taqwa strong. That's the thing that will make that taqwa strong. So by doing good deeds, Allah entices us various good ways. Good deeds. So not only by fasting, but we are doing what? Praying Quran. Yeah, we are making sure we are praying the 5 times salah with jama'ah in the masjid. We are praying, we are doing taraweeh. Yeah, we are doing charity extra. Yeah, we are doing all the forms of good deeds. We are praying tahajjud. And look, tahajjud, yeah, it's for this ummah. What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do? He knows what He has placed in tahajjud. He knows. But He knows that how these people are going to give up their sleep for tahajjud. Yeah, Allah says in the Quran, yes, that this tahajjud, it's the prayer which really has a ability to be able to gain that control over the nafs most. This is what Allah says in Surah Muzammil. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He talks about tahajjud. This is one of the first instructions to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After wahi came down, Surah Muzammil, Muddathir, they were the first verses that came down. Ya ayyuhal muzammil, qumil layla illa qaleela. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Stand at night. Stand at night in what prayer? In tahajjud. Tahajjud is the prayer that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was instructed to do. Qumil layla illa qaleela. Why? Because Allah says further, He says, inna nashi'atal layli hiya ashaddu wat'an wa aqwa muqila. Why? Because this standing at night time is that thing will be able to, that's the thing that will give you strength. Strength to what? The spiritual strength. The strength, the ruhaniya, the spirituality that is kept in tahajjud is kept in nothing else. The spirituality that you will gain in tahajjud, it's just amazing. It's a feeling that you have to feel. It's that tahajjud prayer. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that how are these people going to make sure they wake up for tahajjud and they try to work on that nafs and spirituality, taqwa, how? What did Allah do? He enticed us. How did He entice again? He enticed us with food. What did he do? He enticed us with food. You know food? Entices us, no? If you have a speech, right? If you have a speech going on, right? So during the year, we have a program. There's a speech going on. So we want people to come. So how do you make sure people come? Everyone knows, isn't it? Food will be served. That has to be on the poster, yeah? It has to be there. If you write food will be served, it doesn't have to be big as well. It doesn't have to be big font, right? Doesn't have to be caps lock or anything. Just right at the bottom of the poster, the last thing mentioned is what? Food will be served. Small, on the bottom. That will be enough. Isn't it? No? You will have many more people coming, mashallah, because food will be served. So what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do? That love that humans have for food, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enticed us by that. For what? Tahajjud. How? You know, fasting initially, for the previous nations, from the times of the previous nations, until the beginning of this ummah as well, fasting was that if you, after Isha prayer, if you went sleep, that's it, your fast is started. Your fast is started. So if after Isha you went sleep, you can't wake up afterwards for suhoor, your fast already started. That's how it was initially. What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do? He created ease for this ummah. And he said that no problem, you know what? You can carry on, kulu wa shrabu hatta yatabayyana lakum al-khayt al-abyad min al-khayt al-aswad min al-fajr. This was given to this ummah specially. This is a speciality for our ummah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed us for a favor. So why? How? Why? Why? Because now we wake up in here for suhoor. We're going to wake up for sahri, right? Now when you wake up for suhoor, you're going to wash your face anyway. All you have to do extra is just wash your arms. Do a bit of masah, just have to pass your hand and just wash your feet. That's it. And now you can pray tahajjud. Pray tahajjud. Pray two rakats. That's it. Even if it be just two rakats. That tahajjud prayer is so powerful. So powerful for our spirit. Do you see how Allah enticed us with food now, yeah? He said, no, yeah, you can eat suhoor. Let me make sure you pray tahajjud as well, huh? Pray tahajjud as well. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has facilitated. Can you see? Facilitation. In this month of Ramadan, from beginning till end, how many things He has facilitated for us? Because He knew that if He did not give us this blessed month of Ramadan, then what would have happened to us? What would have happened to me and you? You okay with time? What would have happened to us if Allah did not facilitate for food and did not facilitate for this month of Ramadan, you can say fully, then what would have happened? That, you know, this ruh that we have, because we're humans, we're made up of two main things, yes? Two main things. One is this body, this physical body that we have that we can see. And the other is our spirit, our ruh. Just as we care for our body, We care for our body, right? We groom it, yeah. We look after it, yeah. We shower, we put cream, yeah. We do all sorts of to look after our body. We clothe it, we perfume it, we do everything to look after our body. We nourish it, we give it the good food to keep it healthy and strong. So in exactly the same way, the ruh needs to be paid attention to. It needs to be looked after. If you don't look after it, then what will happen? The exact same thing that would happen to the body if you don't look after it. Don't look after the body, what will happen? You will start becoming ill. Yeah, start to, certain diseases will start to create. This will happen, that will happen. Pain in this part of the body. Then you have to go to the doctor. If you keep neglecting that even, what will happen? Don't go. Eventually, you will be afflicted with such an illness that it will lead to your death. A person will die. Because of neglecting the physical body, not giving food. Just don't give food. You're feeling hungry, still don't give food. You'll die of starvation, you'll die. The body will die, the physical body will die in exactly the same way. If you do not look after the spirit, what will happen? Our ruh will die. It will die. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, He mentions regarding this. He talks about various places. In various places, Allah says, وَمَا يَسْتَوِي الْأَحْيَاءُ وَلَا الْأَمْوَاتِ. And the ones who are dead are not the same as the ones who are alive. What is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talking about? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, in his real urge and his real concern for the ummah was such that he wanted everyone to accept Islam, didn't he? That was his thing. Allah says in the Quran, فَلَعَلَّكَ بَاخِئٌ نَفْسَكَ عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمْ إِن لَّمْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ أَسَفًا. That perhaps you will perish yourself, you will destroy yourself behind these people. If they don't believe, if they don't bring iman, then you will destroy yourself behind these people. That's how much concern you have for these people. So various places in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had to console Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He had to tell him, that وَمَا عَلَيْكَ إِلَّا الْبَلَاغِ, that upon you is not to go beyond. You just have to, all you have to do is preach to them. You're just a preacher. You're just telling them a message. That's your job. That's it. إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ. You can't give guidance and hidayat to the one who you want to. Allah does that. Allah does that. Allah chooses that. So this was consoling Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam time and time again in different ways, that don't worry about these people. In the same way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here, that you know you're telling these people, but it's not the same when if they're dead. If a person is dead, it's like you're talking to a corpse. If you talk to a corpse, it's going to make any difference. No, it's these people are dead in their spirits, in essence. They are like dead people, Allah is saying. Allah says in the Quran, Allah says in Surah Safat, Allah says, أَوَمَنْ كَانَ مَيْتًا فَأَحْيَيْنَاهُ, is the one who is dead. The one who is dead. Then he says, فَأَحْيَيْنَاهُ, then we gave him life. Now, do you see a person who's actually died? Do you see him come back to life or something? So what is Allah talking about here? The question is, Allah is saying, you see the one who is dead, and then we give him life. What's he talking about here? فَأَحْيَيْنَاهُ, he's talking about the one who is spiritually dead. The one who had no iman, who was a disbeliever. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them life. Allah gave them life by what? Giving them iman. Gave them spiritual life. This is what Allah is talking about. So we see Allah is talking about, أَفَمَنْ كَانَ مَيْتًا وَمَنْ كَانَ مَيْتًا فَأَحْيَيْنَاهُ وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُ نُورًا يَمْشِي بِهِ فِي النَّاسِ. And we gave them a light by which they walk in amongst the people. كَمَمْ مَثَلُهُ فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ, is he like the one who is in darknesses? Not just darkness. Allah is saying darknesses, meaning layers and layers of darknesses. So you're trying to explain to them something and they just don't understand. You're telling them clearly something very clear, and you know, you're trying to explain to them what Islam is, and it's so clear to them. It's like I'm telling you something, they just don't want to understand. Why? Because they are so far down in the tunnel, so far down, they're in pitch darkness. You can't bring them out of that darkness. They don't see, there's no light at the end of the tunnel for them. كَمَمْ مَثَلُهُ فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ لَيْسَ بِخَارِجٍ مِّنْهَا, which they're not going to come out of. Allah is saying, can you compare the two people, who one is alive spiritually, the one who is dead? Can you compare them? They're very much alive in the world. They're walking the earth. They're alive, but their spirit is dead. Allah says in Surah Yasin, we read Surah Al-Yasin, Allah says regarding the Quran, yes, that the Quran, what is this Quran? This Quran is in huwa illa dhikrun lil dhikrun. Allah is saying this is a dhikrun. Wa Qur'anun mubin. And it's a clear manifest Quran. For who? Who is this a dhikr, a reminder for? Allah is saying, لِيُنْذِرَ مَنْ كَانَ حَيَّا. So you can warn those people who are alive. Meaning those who are spiritually alive. Spiritually alive. So we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clearly mentioning in the Quran regarding the spirit and how a spirit can be dead and a spirit can be alive. So the ruh, it can die. And if we don't look after the ruh, if we don't look after the spirit, like we explained, then what will happen? We don't show attention to it, it will die. Now Allah knows that this will happen to us. So what does He do? He says, you know what? I give them this month of Ramadan. Now do we not see in the month of Ramadan, those people who are not frequenting the masjid, those people who are not doing any other good deed during the rest of the year, alhamdulillah, they get that much tawfiq, at least that much ability, that they come, they pray salah. Or at least they will fast. They will lose something, yes? They will do something. So this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how He facilitated for us. That He gave us this month. Why? So we can work on our spirits. We can work on our ruh, gain its strength. And by gaining strength in spirituality, we are gaining that taqwa, becoming stronger. That taqwa becomes stronger, and that's the essence of the fasting. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to understand really the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the fasting. And focus on this now, have this vision, then tomorrow inshallah we'll try to bring this into our practical life, that what does it mean for me and you? How do we actually go about and do this now? But once we have a vision of this, inshallah we can now start to pave the way for us to try to gain certain a'mal, certain good deeds that we're going to now bring into our life, that we can inshallah better ourselves in the taqwa. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to really understand the purpose of these good deeds, to gain His closeness. Amin ya rabbal alamin wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin subhanallahi bihamdihi subhanakallahu wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Jazakumullahu khairan.